This week's episode is sponsored by Amico & Co., the full-service refit shipyard at the heart of the Med, with large yacht facilities, in-house departments, and berthing in its waterfront marina. To find out more, visit amicoshipyard.com. Welcome to this week's episode of Boat Briefing. My name is Cecile Gowart. I'm editor of the U.S. edition of Boat International. And here with me to navigate through all the news from the world of superyachting is Katya Domborski, our superyachts editor. How are you, Katya?
I'm okay, Cecile. I was going to say good afternoon, but I think it's the morning for you, right?
Yeah, it's still morning here.
I feel like I'm super jet lagged from the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show, so my body clock's a little bit
all over. I can't imagine.
Right now.
Imagine. It was such a busy show as well, and having a big trip like that right on the back is tiring.
Yeah, no, it was. How was your impression of the show, having done it so many years now?
Well, it was quite interesting, and it was one of the biggest in recent memory in terms of the square footage and the number of boats of all sizes on display. You know how editors sometimes second guess themselves, and particularly once things are in print when you can't change them, right? So I was having a little bit of anxiety over the title on the cover that claims to have news about the world's biggest show. Then I noticed the organizers of that show, called Informa, actually take very good care to only say it's the largest in-water boat show in the world. So I was thinking, wow, maybe I did get this wrong. But, you know, after walking it for 5 days, I'm like, nope, that is definitely the largest boat show in the world. And anybody who tells me different hasn't walked that show ever.
Okay, so no one can say it's not the biggest after they've tried to walk those docks.
No way. No way. And to make it more concrete, I should say, I tried to pull some stats. So I pulled the list of all the boats that were registered there. I mean, this was like maybe 2 days, 3 days before the show started. It could be that there was a couple of changes, but I think we can pretty much go with those. And they're pretty staggering statistics. So there are several locations, as you know, you'll probably touch on that later, but at the main area of the show, which is basically centered around a hotel called the BMR Yachting Center, and then the Hall of Fame Marina, there were a total of 763 boats, which if you put them end to end, total 14,570 meters. So about 14 and a half kilometers, or about 9 miles end to end. The size, average size of those boats is about 19 meters.
Wow, that's pretty good statistics. And what about over in the Superyacht Village in Pier 66?
So yeah, the boats there are much bigger, and obviously for that reason, there are fewer of them. But there were still 50 yachts there. I do think the biggest was Amaryllis. I think about 257 feet. I think I'm right.
I think that is right. The largest yacht of the show, 78.5 meters, I think, and she was brought by Moravia and Burgess.
Okay. So the total length of those boats end-to-end would be 2,032 meters, or roughly 2 kilometers end-to-end. And so the average size of the boats there, including the biggest one, is 40 meters.
That's a pretty sizable selection.
Yeah, they were big boats. Very big boats.
As you said, because the show is split across so many locations, there's really no end of things to see. I always find it absolutely fascinating that you can walk into the show past like fishing rods and what do you call the chairs? Are they called fighter chairs?
Fighting chairs, yeah.
Yeah. And then like go in and see these like gleaming brand new super yachts. It's really a great show in terms of the spectrum of products on display.
Yeah, it's crazy. Everything. If you can't find it there, you can't find it anywhere.
Yeah. Nice also to see some boats that had already previously been in the Med make the journey over. So I know King Benji was there. I think she was actually transported. She didn't go on her own bottom, but she was on display, right?
Right, she was. And the owner has a very interesting take on marketing, and he did some very different things. And people were kind of sort of, you know, raising their eyebrows. Oh, really? So among the things they did was to rent one of those banner planes that usually advertise, you know, the beer special at, you know, you name it, or the crab special at Coconuts. And it just basically used it to say, hey, come see King Benji, and then with the website of the King Benji, yacht kingbenji.com or something. And then basically he let everybody who wanted on. So yeah. It was incredible.
I always find it so funny, Cecile, and you probably do as well, since you wrote the yacht report for King Benji, right?
I did, yeah.
So it's always very secretive. Like when you first go and visit the yacht, you're like the first person on board and everyone's so like, hush, hush, you know, we can't possibly let these pictures loose because you don't tell anyone about this. And then suddenly a few months down the line, it's like, oh, you want to come on board? Sure, off in you come. And they had things like, they had someone boxing on board. Did you see that? Someone was using the...
I missed that.
Oh my God, it was crazy. Someone was using the boxing, I don't know what you call it, the like bag.
The boxing bag.
Was punching it, and they had like security guys on board. It was really quite something. I mean, if you want to get people talking about the boat, that is the way to do it, right?
Yeah, I know. Like, I know in our little world where, you know, you usually have to almost show your credit card or the balance of your bank account. Actually, there was some talk of that in Monaco, remember? to allow anybody who walks on to basically, yeah, just go through the boat. It's very unheard of. But, you know, he got so many impressions on social media between the photos on Instagram. It's insane. The value of marketing he got is pretty much like nothing else.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, yeah, anyway, that was probably the most unusual marketing campaign that I've seen. And he's definitely a free thinker, that guy. And yeah, interesting. See if it changes anything about the way we handle this kind of PR in the future.
Yeah, for sure. But it was a busy show in other areas, right? So there was a lot of press conferences. I noticed Ferretti Group announced a new like Riva residence. Is that right?
That's right. So the location of it is interesting. That will be sitting where there used to be like this motel and kind of dive bar called the Bella Cabana, which had very cheap cocktails and really great view of the marina. Actually, I like going there, but then they would hose down the floor, you know, at night, that kind of place.
Okay, right. The kind of place that would be advertised on a plane banner, right?
Exactly. Come further, whatever, special at Bella Cabana.
Somehow I can't see Riva doing the whole plane banner thing.
No. Riva Residency. So yeah, that's getting quite the upgrade there. You know, I've been around in Florida for a long time, and the changes that are happening on the beach are no short of extraordinary. And certainly to see this very exquisite condominium go up there is interesting.
Yeah, for sure. So that was kind of the big news from the show. But Sunseeker also had a pretty major press conference, right? They had some really big news.
Right. So, they packed a meeting room inside the hotel and they had a live hookup to pool with all their staff over there listening. And basically there had been a long held rumor that their Chinese owner was putting them up for sale. And so they actually, announced that they just had been sold to two companies. So that was, you know, really big news for everyone, for sure.
Yeah.
But I think you found out more about it, right? You talked to them and
told us a little bit
more about what's going on.
Yeah, so it's two companies. One of them is Lionheart Capital, which kind of do a lot in the real estate and high-end development sector. But they also own Cigarette Racing, you know, the really iconic racing brand. So that was quite cool. I thought, you know, they've come from this maritime background. And actually the founder and CEO said the company wanted to continue looking for opportunities in that space because the Cigarette Racing brand had given them such great success. And they said they really hoped to be able to take Sunseeker to new heights and new levels. Now, the other person involved in the sale was Orienta Capital Partners. And the chairman of this company, I believe, Cecile, you can correct me if I'm wrong, formerly was at Ferretti Group, right? Which is also where Andrea Fabretti, the current CEO of Sunseeker, also was. So I thought that was quite an interesting full circle moment.
Yeah, certainly there must be a personal connection there, I imagine.
That was all the news from the press conferences. And then on the dock there was plenty happening as well.
Yeah. Well, actually, also an interesting press conference was held with Rolls-Royce and Azimut Yacht. So Rolls-Royce has their first smaller pod system that's going to go onto a 100-foot Azimut, which we'll see next year in Cannes. So that was interesting. It's a different market segment for them. It's the first one that they're installing with Azimut, but certainly not the last. I'm
Oh,
sure of
interesting.
it. Yeah, but the show, what one of the things about Fort Lauderdale is certainly what's happening around the show, around the boats and around the exhibitors. First of all, there's lots of docks and lots of water, so people always drop stuff there into the water. So you usually may come across a diver just coming out with a phone or a ring or something
Glasses.
else, a wallet.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there is a people show, and there were a lot of dogs, and there was a gentleman walking around with a gigantic Maine Coon cat, which was quite interesting.
Cecile, that was the highlight of my show. I have to tell you now, I wasn't interested in any of the boats as much as I was with this cat. It was so big. Did you see? I had people messaging me on Instagram being like, is that real or is it like a toy cat? I was like, no, it's a real cat. He was called Romeo.
Yeah, I met Romeo. Actually, Romeo got a little bit heated, and there was nobody in our booth, so we allowed Romeo and the owner to come in and get some air conditioning.
Oh, that's nice. That's such a Fort Lauderdale thing to bring your cat into
Is. I don't think you see that anywhere else, honestly.
a show. I wonder how he got it in. Like, did the cat get a ticket or what? What was the deal?
You know, I saw all the ticket prices online, and I didn't see one for Maine Coon cats. I don't know.
I reckon he got in on cuteness alone because
Maybe so.
very,
Maybe
very sweet
so.
cat.
Yeah, and then otherwise there was a couple of women in yachting events. For some reason, this has become a big deal. There seems to be more and more people doing those. I went to one, which was put together by Allan Marine. It was a very nice event. They had an awards thing, which you could say, okay, another award, but I really like that they recognized Nada Serafini. She is a product manager for Pershing at Ferretti, and I think she has an extraordinary story, which I actually didn't know anything about. But she basically started at the very bottom there as making coffee for people and the company, and but she speaks all these languages. So when the company started selling to international markets, they would come to her to ask for stuff. You know, oh, you speak English? Oh, come. Oh, you speak French? Oh, can you help? And so little by little, she made her way to the top. And now she's a very knowledgeable person. She knows everything about the Pershing brand. So I
Yeah.
kind of like that. It was very, very nice.
I like that aspect of it too. I like that they actually honored someone who had made such an incredible contribution and actually really worked hard to get to the top and show that it's possible. You know, if you start in a kind of entry level role and work your way up, you can be managing one of the biggest shipyards in that part of the world, actually. I mean, Florida's a massive market for Pershing, so
Yeah.
I imagine that was a really nice recognition.
So, I mean, there was also one with Damen. I guess they were kind of the ones who started the movement of women in yachting, in the yachting industry, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right. I went along to that one and I really liked it because, as you said about the Allied Marine one, it's important that they're actually shining a spotlight on the achievements of women in the industry. And Damen Yachting actually brought someone to speak about the Blue Marine Foundation. So she worked for the Blue Marine Foundation. She spoke all about their conservation efforts and why it's important for more women to be involved in sustainability. And she also told us that I think more than half the workforce at Blue Marine Foundation are women, which I
Oh,
thought
wow.
was crazy and very impressive. I
It
think
is.
the women in yachting events, they can sometimes be a little bit patronizing or a little bit kind of performative, but I think it's nice when there's actually, the achievements of women are being highlighted. So both two very nicely run events there from Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, I think that was actually well done. You know, I'm not always like, oh, okay, it's good to highlight. You know, special interest group. I'm not sure women yachting are a special interest group, and I think maybe sometimes it feels a bit isolating to say, oh, you're a woman in yachting. I mean, they're professionals, but actually, yeah, the way it was handled, I really liked it. I thought it was quite nice, and I very much enjoyed finding out more about Nada's background. So anyway.
Agreed.
So, you know, one thing that people will immediately ask the minute you finish day one is, so how busy is the show? How is it? Is it busy? I find that question so hard to answer, especially when you first get started. To me, if you're trying to get somewhere and you're in a hurry and you're walking that face dog on Bayamar, it always feels crowded because you try to get somewhere and sort of zigzagging between.
No one's getting out of the way, especially when when you have to go over the little bridges and everyone's trying to crowd on. That's hard.
And then you have to zigzag between the dog and the Maine Coon cat. And so it felt busy to me, actually. Perhaps not so much at the Supriyat village, which has a very different ambiance, obviously. Don't know what your thoughts were on the matter. I did hear a little bit of grumbling from some of the exhibitors there that perhaps they didn't get the people they were hoping to get there. But
yeah, it's hard, isn't it? I mean, the footfall is going to be lower because of where it is. But also the water taxi drop off is in a different place this year, right? So it's kind of slightly further away from where the yachts are. It used to be like on that main jetty as you come out of the bridge.
You know, I didn't take the water taxi this year. I really like that they added those little electric carts that were
basically cool,
I zipped around those things all day long.
Okay. Well, the water taxi drop-off is slightly different, so maybe that's also why there was less action in the actual village. But I mean, what I like about that show is that you get to see, especially the Supriyat village, is that you get to go on board yachts that maybe you otherwise wouldn't in Monaco, for example.
Yeah.
So I went on board a very nice, slightly older Abbekin called Amaral. She is the ex-Lady Sheridan, and she was a really nice model, and there's no way I would have gone on board that in somewhere like Monaco, for example. Like, you just kind of skip it. But actually, I got a full tour with Cecil Wright, who have her for charter, and that was really nice. I know there were some other yachts there. I think Bookends was around the Supriyat village, is that right? The Heathcliff?
Yeah, she was like pointing towards the bridge, and you can recognize her because she has those lovely orange.
Yeah, the orange touches, yeah.
Yeah, beautiful boats, by Heathcliff. I think you interviewed the owner, didn't you?
Yes, so at the last Palm Beach show, I interviewed the owner, and he's such a character. He's so fun. Really, really like classic all-American guy, so welcoming. I was told beforehand that I had to wear an orange dress because, you know, the theme of the boat is orange. So I turned off my orange dress and he was like, oh my God, I can't believe you wore orange on my boat. And I was like, yeah, well, I was told. I was told by Heeson. So that was really fun.
It's all about the details, Katya. All about the details.
Go International is nothing if not detail orientated. But it was really fun. And then I hung out on the Heathen stand, and they also had some dogs actually on the stand in a little a pram or like a buggy. What do you call that in America? A pram?
A stroller.
A stroller. So two dogs in a stroller. And that was quite cool. Yeah, it was a nice vibe at the Supriyat village. I like it over there. You know, it's just
I think it's been an ongoing thing. Mostly Supriyat Village is for members of the Supriyat Builders Association. So people like Delta, Berger, Heathen, Abbeking, who else was there? Tankoa, I forget. Anyway, and of course they are, you know, showing, if they have a yacht, they're showing the very biggest yachts, which are for people who can really spend tens of millions of dollars on a yacht, which is... Yeah. You know, they're trying to integrate this within a show that's basically open to anyone who is willing to pay a ticket.
Yeah.
And we'd be looking for a canoe, for a ski boat, for anything. Maybe even, or maybe just fun, or a Maine Coon cat. I don't know. So it's always been tricky to try to find the right balance for that association of builders, create an environment that's conducive to those kind of really qualified buyers, keep away the people who really can't afford, you know, Lady Sheridan or Amaryllis or Bookends or any of the yachts there. But not everybody was saying that it was not busy. I think the exhibitors that were there with a boat did well. Like, for example, I heard from the U.S. country manager for Benetti that they had a very, very good show. So anyway.
That's good to hear. It's been a bit, I think the sentiment was that it was a little bit quiet because obviously when the boat show happened, we were in the wake of the election. And the day that we're actually recording this, the results have been announced. So, Cecile, you woke up this morning to new leadership, right?
Yeah, it sounds like it. I can't say that I was completely surprised. If you attended the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show, you would have seen a lot of Trump flags around. And of course, there has been a very active group, voters for Trump. So you want to take that with a grain of salt. It doesn't necessarily mean the entire country is voting for him, but I was a little bit prepared for that result, I think. I wasn't terribly surprised this morning.
Lots of red hats floating about the show, which I always mistake for an Edmiston cap. I'm like, are we a Trump supporter or are we buying from Edmiston? What's the deal here? You never know.
Yeah, well, so I mean, in terms of the business not being or the market not being so busy in the last few weeks, that happens every 4 years. It's just a behavior thing from people that's been noticed. It's not just in boating, it's luxury cars, it's everything. But people think that with him in the White House, then it will be favorable for business. I think most of the brokers and the businesses that surround the yachting industry probably think that will be good for the business. So time will tell.
Other than the election, the big news on our lips in the office is EYS next week, so the Explore Yacht Summit,
Oh yeah,
which
that's a good one.
so it takes place on the 13th of November at the Yacht Club de Monaco, and it's held in collaboration with exploreyachts.com and in association with Damen Yachting. So Cecile, have you ever been to this event? Because it's quite Europe-centric, so.
Actually, I haven't because it happens usually right after FLIBS, and then we have the judging for the Boat Design Innovation Awards right around that. And it's a little bit of a busy time for me. I'm very much busy with the awards during that period. So no, unfortunately, I haven't been, and I hope I make it someday because it sounds very, very interesting. I always get really good feedback from people who have attended.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite events as well. So it would be great to get you across for it, but I know you've busy schedule. But this year I'm really looking forward to it because the keynote speaker is a guy called Monty Halls. So he is a pretty famous British TV personality who he worked under Nelson Mandela for a while. He also led a trip to India that uncovered some major temples which are still being explored to this day. So he's a really big figure in exploration and adventure. I met him and kind of pitched him the Explore Yacht Summit this time last year at another function that I was at, and I thought he'd be brilliant for this event because he is such a good speaker. Like when he gets on stage, he's one of those people that just really magnetic, command the attention of the room, and really kind of make people feel inspired. So I thought he'd be great. I'm really happy he's joining us for EYS, and he's joined by a really great lineup of people. So we've also got Nina Jensen, who you know,
Oh
Cecile.
yeah, very cool.
So she'll actually be telling us a bit about Rev Ocean, which hopefully in exclusive capacity, because we all know there's been a lot of talk about this, the world's largest yacht. She was on hold for a bit. Now she's up and running again. We're all really curious to know how that's progressing. So hopefully get some more intel on that one. So yeah, it's going to be a really, really good event. I hope to see many of our podcast listeners in the room.
Yeah, let's hope so. And yeah. I hope to hear more about it, and hopefully it's recorded and I can see some of the talks afterwards.
Yeah,
I'd
for
love
sure.
that. Well, did you want to do your brokerage pick of the week?
I would love to. So it's actually kind of an explorer-themed brokerage pick of the week, quite by accident. But I've picked the 44.2 meter Pendennis sailing catamaran called Hemisphere. So she is new on the market with Henry Craven Smith of Burgess, and she is asking just 46 million euro, which I thought is pretty good. New yacht. She was recently refitted. And she is so capable. I mean, she's really proved herself as a real world traveller. So she's currently lying in Tahiti, but she's had an adventurous life even before delivery. So she was started at Director. Is it Director or Director? I never know.
Director, I saw
Director.
her there.
Did you?
I did.
Really?
Yeah, I'm that old.
No, did you see her in a completed form or like in a kind of, I mean, how completed was she? Because she started life there, then she was shipped over to Pendennis to
Holland
be.
superstructure that we're complete.
hulls and superstructure, I guess.
Yeah. Hulls, yes. She was huge. I still remember walking in that hangar and looking at that. It was enormous. It's a fantastic vessel, actually. Really amazing. I saw her eventually completed in Antigua, I want to say. Beautiful boat.
Nice, nice. Yeah. So what was the reason? So director, I didn't think this is the kind of thing they had the capacity to do, this kind of massive... I mean, obviously, in the end, they didn't, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, the director shipyard at the time, they were leasing a very large property in Connecticut, and they were actually building very large catamaran, you know, for professional commercial usage. So they did have actually the capacity
okay.
in terms of the area of the shipyard and as well as the size of the boats. Yeah, I'm not sure what went wrong there. Eventually, the director shipyard in Connecticut had to close doors. I don't know the details about it. Obviously, director has continued in a different format, but the boat did leave for Pendennis to be finished.
Yeah. Well, she's a really nice looking boat. I got from a yacht report that we have on our website that she has got a huge dining table, which has a map of the world actually etched yeah. into the glass top.
Beautiful. That really cool. The furniture yeah. is just gorgeous. No, the yeah. interior is absolutely gorgeous.
So that's what sold me.
Yeah.
What's yours, Cecile?
So given what's just happened this week, and it's a bit tongue-in-cheek, I chose Never Say Never Again.
Get it?
Which is 37 Beyond by Benetti, which is listed by TWW Yachts. I saw her, and I love that the main deck is elevated, and you can see all the way through one of those, you know, from the aft all the way to the forward area. It has a very laid-back beachy decor. If you want to know more about this one, it's a yacht report that our very own Stuart Campbell wrote, which he doesn't do that very often, but he did do an interview with Azimut and the owner and wrote the first report on the 37 Beyond. So key features include the fact that she has a steel hull, so she's an explorer. She's got huge volume with about 431 gross ton, I think, for 37 meters. That's pretty impressive. She's got a Siemens hybrid system. And the other reason to look at it, if you like the model, is that Azimut is otherwise sold out until 2020. I mean, Azimut Benetti, sorry, is otherwise sold out until 2028 of this model. So that's a good opportunity to grab it. Yeah. The asking prices, oh boy, there's so many numbers there. I'm probably going to mess this up. I usually don't go over four numbers. Let's see. It's about 25,122,087 US or 22,995,000 euros. Oof. Okay. So basically below 23 million euros.
Yes. Perfect. That's a good price. And I also really like that boat, Cecile. I think she's really nice. So the reason you picked it is because, because of the name. And also she was in Fort Lauderdale, right? She was on
display.
And
then she was in Fort Lauderdale, yes, yeah. Which was very nice to see. And also she's an explorer. Look at that.
It all ties together.
It all ties together. It's as if we had planned it this way.
Okay. Perfect. All right. Let's run through a couple of quick headlines from the week, shall we?
Hang on, because I'm lost now. Okay.
I will kick us off with the conclusion to a story that started this summer. So it's the 47-meter Hisignol Atina. She caught fire and sunk in Sardinia. This week, she was finally lifted out and recovered. So there was quite a striking picture of her being hoisted up, or what remains of her. I mean, she's really just a charred hull now.
Wow.
But she was harnessed and lifted out of the water by Pontoon Conquest MB1 and will soon be transported for demolition and hopefully recycling. I mean, I'm sure there's something you can do with that hull still. So you remember she sunk on August 11th, approximately 300 metres from the coast of Olbia, following a fire that broke out in the stern. And we are actually trying at the moment to kind of determine the cause of why this happened. But as you probably know, Cecile, it's very hard to, not always, but sometimes it's quite hard to get the reports after a big incident like this, because there's so many people contesting it, the insurers, the everyone else involved.
It'll take some time for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So on other news, the 101.2 meter superyacht project 1014 is preparing for transport to FedShip's facility in Macon, in the Netherlands, where she will be beginning outfitting. Her launch is anticipated for sometime next year, 2026. Details are very few on the build. They've been fairly kept under wrap. But we know that construction of this yacht began in 2023. What did you think of this design? Low profile, a bit vintage looking?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to see because it's still in the hull stage, but I thought she looked really nice. Did you have a chance to see this boat properly, or did you just kind of...
No, I just looked at the news on this morning, basically.
Yeah. It's really difficult when they're kind of at this stage, but I think right. She'll be a little bit more kind of classic. She's got the sloped transom that kind of comes up quite high as opposed to the low open beach club situation, and then the decks kind of swoop up almost to make the sheer line quite high.
Interesting.
Does that make sense?
I'll have to see it. Well, speaking of retro design, the first unit in Italian vessel's 38.1 meter classic A37 series has hit the water, and it's named Cheyenne. The delivery on the flagship model is expected before the close of this year. Oh, cool. Get to see this soon. The yacht's exterior lines and naval architecture were penned by Studio Samarelli, who describes her as a ship disguised as a yacht with several commercial design details. Her interiors are owed to Francesca Cianficoni, a studio based in Rome, Italy.
Fantastic designed to be there,
sorry.
Fantastic pronunciation. You didn't even pause with that one.
Molto bene.
She's Italian.
Designed to be an autonomous long-range cruiser, Cheyenne, not Italian in pronunciation, is expected to obtain ice class certification and meets the diesel engine emission reduction standard issued by the Environmental Protection Agency, or the EPA. Cheyenne, EPA. I wonder where she's going.
Yeah, I mean, she looks very interesting. I'm kind of a fan of that slightly more vintage style, so it'll be nice to get a closer look at her before the close of the year, hopefully.
I don't know much about this yard at all. I'm looking forward to learning more.
As am I. All right, lovely. Well, to all our listeners who are joining us at the Explore Yacht Summit, we'll see you next week. If you haven't registered to be there yet, there is still time to buy a ticket, so please do. We will put a link in the description in the show notes.
Sounds great. Right. Thank you for tuning into this week's Boat Briefing Podcast, a production of Boat International Media, mixed and edited by Naomi Wilson and Adam Gist.
We'll see you next week.